Welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast, conducted in cooperation with Marketing Profs. I'm your host, Paul Dunay, and today I'm speaking with Phil Fernandez, the President and CEO of Marketo, and John Miller, the VP of Marketing for Marketo. So welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thanks, Paul. Good to talk to you today.
Hi, Paul.
So today we're going to explore the age-old debate on sales versus marketing, but this time we're going to take it from the perspective of a CEO talking to two marketers. So let's start out with Phil. Phil, sales and marketing, in your estimation, what's the difference?
Well, the difference is everything in some sense, Paul. You know, I like to say that sales is from Mars and marketing is from Venus, and I really mean that. It's incredible how the sales animal and the marketing animal really have a different DNA. You know, one level, you know, marketing works, you know, on very long time frames. You know, things like working on a brand is about setting the foundation today for a payoff that's going to come, you know, potentially many months and years down the road. Whereas, you know, nothing focuses the attention like a quota for the salesperson to be thinking about, you know, the here and now. What did you do for me yesterday is often the sort of longest that the salesperson can think. And in some sense, both of those perspectives are entirely valid, but it leads to the sales and the marketing person just having a, you know, a totally different worldview about what's important, what impacts the bottom line of the business, and how their function, you know, is making a contribution to the overall business success.
Right. Now, John, you know, how do you see that from a purely marketing perspective? I mean, I have my own supposition, but I just would like to hear your answer as well.
Well, sure. You know, my challenge as a marketer that I've experienced before Marketo especially is that marketing is always sort of seen as a second-class citizen. And marketing's, you know, subservient to sales, while it seems like sales gets all the glory. And frankly, before Marketo, I was getting pretty sick and tired of it all. You know, at Marketo, we've done a lot of work to sort of break down those barriers and align or build sales marketing alignment. You know, everything from, you know, rigorous things like defining common definition of a lead and our lead scoring model, as well as softer things like just occasionally going and having a beer, even getting our nails done with the head of sales. But it's still been really hard to do, to kind of get all these things together, you know, because at the end of the day, there are different perspectives. You know, for example, just a couple of weeks ago, we had a great week where we generated a lot of really sales qualified leads that we sent over to the sales team. But at the same time, that very week, sales team was complaining that there weren't enough leads coming in. And even as all the work that we've done between the two departments, the fact is they're thinking about making their quota for that month, right? And even if we've generated a bunch of great leads, those are leads that are still not going to turn into business for a month or two. And so that difference in time perspectives is something that's still always a challenge.
Right. Now, you know, from my perspective, I thought, and it's building on what you said, John, the lead nurturing process that we put in place really sort of changed the dynamic of the conversation between sales and marketing because, you know, marketing was coming to the table with the idea of, you know, help me understand what is the definition of a lead and how can I help, you know, get us down that particular trail, which is a great place to start. And then, you know, the scoring of leads and then marketing eventually sourcing leads for sales, you know, that becomes a contribution that begins to move the two much closer, I think. And that's certainly what I've experienced within my own organization. So I just wanted to chip in my two cents there. So Phil, do you think companies spend too much on sales or marketing or potentially even both?
Yeah, I think companies spend too much on both, to be perfectly honest. You know, it's actually, you look at the income statements for most companies and they're spending, you know, sometimes 30 or 40% of their total revenue on sales and marketing. You know, that's a really big number, and it's therefore a number that, you know, stands out and is also one that I think can have a tremendous impact on the bottom line of a company if they attack. You know, sales and marketing is still a pretty ugly, you know, it's a pretty ugly sausage factory if you really look inside what goes on inside that function. You know, just looking at the marketing side, for example, at the interface with sales, you know, the ages-old problem of leads being generated that sales doesn't follow up on, because sales believes that the leads aren't ready yet. You know, clearly things like lead nurturing and lead scoring can go, you know, tremendous distance towards improving that process. But in fact, the state of the art is really pretty poor. Companies are in the early stages of, you know, figuring out how to improve these processes. We think if people can get effective lead scoring, effective lead nurturing, turn fewer better leads over to sales, improve the productivity of the sales organization, that it's possible for companies to take 3, 5, or even more percent off their overall investment in sales and marketing. So I think this is one of the most interesting areas that companies can invest in terms of technology, in terms of processes, in terms of business improvement, to have an incredibly powerful impact on the bottom line.
Right. Invest in, but potentially optimizing that spend in order to get the most out of it. I think that's what I'm hearing within your statement.
Exactly. So even, you know, you see something like people spending on Google. You know, AdWords is transforming marketing, the ability for the marketing department to produce and gather good, real, actionable leads through something like their spend on Google. That's a corporate asset. But if every one of those leads isn't captured, engaged with, nurtured, and moved from point A to point B, that's an asset that's squandered in the business. And so the ability for companies to make simple investments that, you know, radically improve those kinds of strategic marketing investments, there's a lot of opportunity there in today's world.
Right. So not just optimizing the spend, but optimizing the process around the follow-up is another good corollary to that theory.
Exactly.
So, John, you know, I know within, you know, if you look at IDC's benchmarking data, they talk about a marketing budget ratio or an MBR in technology or even in professional services firms like where I'm coming from, somewhere in the neighborhood of 1.5% to, you know, high of maybe 3 or 5%. I loved the fact that Phil was talking numbers much higher than that. Naturally, I'd like to know the names of those companies. But what's your view on spending and funding from a marketing perspective?
Well, you know, one mistake that I've made in the past, and I think a lot of marketers make, is framing, you know, marketing too much in the context of costs and spending, and not enough in terms of sort of what impact all that spending's having. You know, just as an example, you know, most marketers talk a lot about, you know, what their cost per lead is and how they have managed to reduce cost per lead. And the problem, that's really two problems with that. The first of all is that's just a recipe to get your marketing budget cut as opposed to having it increased. But moreover, it's meaningless to talk about cost per lead when most companies don't really even understand what a lead really is. You know, you've got to be able to define the different stages that a lead goes through. You've got to have that common vocabulary across the company. And then you need to be able to understand, you know, how many of those things you really need to generate to meet your revenue targets. You know, what I've worked hard to do at Marketo is to know exactly what sales targets we have 3, 6, 9 months from now, understand what it takes to get business to the sales team, you know, leads to the sales team so they can make that business, and work backwards to understand what I need to be doing in marketing today to deliver on those sales targets down the road. And I think, you know, marketing should be spending exactly what's required, no more, no less, to make those numbers. So it's not about spending 1.5% of revenue or 5% of revenue or whatever it is. It's about spending exactly what's required to drive revenue.
That's a fantastic comment. And so, Phil, you know, drill into the marketing function a little bit more for me around what is more important to you, perhaps, from marketing. Is it brand awareness or is it lead gen? I mean, there's always, you know, a delicate balance between the two. How do you sort of side out on that?
Well, Paul, you know, I think the answer is yes. You know, absolutely, both important. And I'm being a little bit flip, but I think that's really, you know, it's a very interesting question you ask. And the answer is they're really, you know, two sides of the same coin, and so it's impossible to really try to make the either-or decision. I worry a little bit that the world is moving in a direction that is skewing too strongly towards lead generation. You know, when John and I started Marketo a couple of years ago, we talked to a bunch of CMOs, and we heard over and over again that, you know, CMOs saying things like, the CEO won't talk to me about anything except lead generation. And I think that's a very short-sighted perspective. Lead generation is critical. You know, we're in a business building better lead generation systems, and we obviously have a very strong point of view on that. But absent brand, you know, all the lead generation efforts in the world will underperform. You know, there's been some recent research that says that if you ask buyers in the B2B world, you know, how did they initiate their buying process? What started the buying process? That more than 90% will say, if asked, that they found the vendor that they bought from. In other words, that they did the first work, that they took the first step of finding the person that they bought from. And that, to me, suggests that brand remains pretty darn important. You know, awareness, the time you see an organic search result come up on Google, if that brand name means something to you, you're more likely to click through, you're more likely to follow up. Once that sort of first brand gets its kind of, you know, its tentacles into you, then lead generation becomes critical to nurture. When brand reaches out and helps somebody find you as a business, that customer is not ready to buy. They're merely using your brand as an entree to start to research the buying process. So once that brand sort of takes hold, then you need lead generation to get the prospective buyer from the day they first engage to the day they're truly ready to buy. So if companies don't sort of see how they fit together and how both brand and lead generation are a single continuous process, they make a really big mistake in my perspective.
Mm. Now, John, can you really have it all? Can you really have the mix of both? And Phil's point was one's kind of got to lead the other. And I agree with Phil's point about, you know, there's an overemphasis on lead generation, certainly in an economic climate like we're facing right now, certainly with the measurable, trackable things that are available to marketers online. Lead gen's got to be, you know, a pretty easy path to take. Can you really do it all?
Well, you know, you have to, as Phil said. It's the yin and the yang. It's, you know, it's the man and the woman. It's the sales and the marketing, you know, that need to come together in order to do anything. You need both sides of the coin for all those things, and it's the only way you're going to have success. You know, there's no doubt, I've blogged about this a ton, marketing is becoming, you know, more of a science and more measurable. That's an inevitable trend, but any marketer is fooling themselves if they think they can do away without the sex and the sizzle of marketing as well. It's just too intricate part of the overall craft. You know, and this is even more important in a marketing 2.0 world where people are using blogs, where people are using podcasts like this, other social media as a way to learn about vendors, research vendors. You know, that is the new branding. And if companies can't find a way to tie all that together in a measurable way, in a way that drives leads as well, they're just not going to succeed.
So, Phil, for all of us marketers here, what's one thing marketers should be focusing on, or do you wish we would do differently? What words of wisdom can you give us down that path?
That's a tough one, Paul. Well, you know, I think this discussion of, you know, measurability really comes to the front. You know, I think one of the things I've seen a lot from marketing is in a time when marketing's at all under pressure, you know, marketing does what it does best. Marketing departments start to market themselves, and they start to really, you know, in some sense get really very vocal. You know, of course marketing works. Marketing's important. And, you know, then all sorts of metrics start to come out about how many press releases were put out, how many leads were generated. You can get sort of a haze of, you know, marketing metrics that are all about sort of proving that, you know, of course marketing is important. And I think marketers need to stop, you know, marketing themselves quite so much and let the results matter. And so if marketers really focus on measuring, getting a common definition of what a lead is, focus on ultimately the bottom line of the impact on revenue, measuring how marketing programs tie to revenue that's being generated, and really focus on that one metric as opposed to, you know, trying to prove that they're right, I think that actually credibility would be really improved.
You know, Paul, this is John, Paul. You know, it's interesting to look at how sales works versus how marketing works. Sales isn't very measurable in terms of the outcomes. Very hard to measure the activities of sales. Marketing is the other way around. It's really easy to measure all of marketing's activities, but it's hard to measure the outcomes. But that's exactly what marketers need to do, is get better at measuring what the outcome of all their activities are and spend less time measuring what are all their activities.
Well said. Perfect way to characterize what I was saying, John. Thanks.
Nice. So, John, now that marketing is moving to using new techniques coming out of Web 2.0, you know, as you're calling it, Marketing 2.0, which I like the term very much, how is this all fitting into the marketing toolkit, especially in light of everything we've heard from Phil today?
Wow, Paul, Marketing 2.0 is, a big topic that we could probably have a whole other podcast talking about it. For the purposes of today, a couple of the key elements of marketing, too, that I think matter are how prospects are taking control of their attention in the buying process, and how marketers need to sort of start using new behavioral marketing techniques to respond, and how buyers are interacting with other consumers. So marketers need to find ways to essentially nurture passion and engagement from their best customers, marketing with those prospects rather than marketing to them. At Marketo, we really tried to work hard to take some of these new trends and incorporate them into our own marketing. Interestingly, we actually started our blog before we ever even started working on our product, because we thought it was so important to find ways to be transparent, to connect with our customers and our prospects, and interact with them. We knew that was the only way that we would be able to build the right kind of product that was really going to reflect the needs of what marketers have. And then we actually use some of our product's own capabilities today to score our leads by measuring their overall level of engagement, with the company. We actually know for any of our prospects, what are they doing on our website? Are they reading my blog, and how long have they been reading the blog? One of the things that we found is that prospects who spend more time reading the blog are actually much more sales ready, and that's an important piece of information to know when we're, communicating and working on aligning for sales. That is marketing 2.0, trying to understand how that engagement is tying in with lead nurturing and sales alignment.
Well, guys, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And for our listeners, now it's your turn. Let us know what you think about sales versus marketing and how that's working within your company. We would be glad to keep this conversation going with you online. We'll be back again next week with another podcast, and thank you very much for listening.